Mother's eye, and what a big apple he is.
Damn!
The pride of Slater Mo, Joe Klein. He sings. He's as opinionated as they come.
You know, he's an idiot. Why would you take an idiot's word?
What do you think about him, though?
He's an idiot.
Okay.
He's festive all year round. And he's got a special way of teaching life's important lessons.
In the old days, people used to hang their laundry out because they didn't have dryers. If you had holes in your underwear, you dried them in the house.
It's time for Tall Tales with gold medalist, NBA champion, and UALR assistant, Joe Klein.
All right. And today, Joe Klein is presented by Gorky's.
I hooked you all up.
Yeah, you did.
I told him, I said, I'm going up to see the boys. I haven't brought them any food.
Wow.
And man, they hooked you guys up better than they hooked me up. And Leela and Liz are the ones who did it. And Leela told me that I needed to do a promo for her, that she's available now. She cooks. She does laundry.
Really? How old's Leela?
I don't think she wanted me to say she cooks. Okay. I think she's kind of looking for a good guy that'll help her out. I told her.
A triple threat, cooks, cleans,
gonna,
does laundry.
I said I was going to come up here and tell her that, you know, if you need your house cleaned and your laundry done.
Oh, boy. If she can tolerate a knucklehead, I know a few guys for her. We'll talk about what's going on over at Corky's and with UALR, the Trojans at home tonight. We do have tickets to give away. And we're going to talk some NBA, too.
We got Mike Jarvis coming into town.
That's right. Joe Klein's got all the answers about what's wrong with the Lakers. We got to get Jeff Money Taylor in, because in addition to everything else, oh, by the way, they're running at Oaklawn today. A little cloudy, but the horses will be getting after it today down at Oaklawn. And there he is, Jeff Money Taylor, joining us.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
What's up, Money?
It's all good. All good.
So how was your weekend? And I know you talked to Pat on Monday about the Smarty Jones Stakes, and Pat's horse, Brown Almighty, did not come through like he had hoped, but it's a long season, so certainly some chances to make it up. How did that shake out for you? What did you see on Monday in the Smarty Jones Stakes that stood out to you?
Well, I thought Mary Rampley, our guest on last Saturday morning show, Justin, hit the nail on the head. The two now horses were the two that come out of the Springboard Mile that we talked so much about over at Remington Park last month. Texas Fling and the runner-up there on the outside, those two came back and flip-flopped the two positions, but once again, that race validated itself, I think, in fine fashion, as it's done the last couple of years. And I just sat here up in the press box, watch him run around there. Don't have a nickel on the exact, and it comes back 350. So what do you say? What can you say? But, again, the landscape is going to change with the Southwest here in a couple of weeks. I think you'll see a little bit more outside interest with some outfit shipping some three-year-olds, as we really see some people starting to jockey around for some position as the three-year-old picture develops a little bit further.
All right, let's get into it today. We've got, again, nine races on the card and going to be part of a four-day weekend. We go all the way through through Sunday, of course. So first post today at 1:30 if you're heading down to Oaklawn and want to be part of it. Certainly plenty of time to get down there. So let's get in on our early daily double.
Okay, we start things out this week, as we've done several times at the meeting, with some maiden claiming action in the opener. Not too enamored, to be honest with you, with any of these horses in this first that have started. So I'm going to go to a first-time starter from the always dangerous John Henry Prather Barn. That's Boo Boo's badge, number 8 in your program. A nice, tidy 6-1 in the morning line. This horse has been training very well for an outfit that, as I said, is always dangerous. They have an uncanny ability to get horses to win at two turns early in the meeting. And I think the profile here of number 8, Boo Boo's badge, could point to a big one at a nice price. Second half of the early double will go far more conventional with your likely favorite, number 5, Homeboy Chris, 5-2 in the line. Homeboy Chris sounds like a runner, doesn't he? I think it's where Stocks and Pounces from just off the pace. Ron Moquette, the trainer, struck with a couple of these Florida imports last couple of years, as a matter of fact. Homeboy Chris last seen at Gulfstream Park back in December in a stakes event. This race a little bit easier, so we'll go convention there in the second. The double numbers today, 8 and 5. We move now to the featured 8th on the afternoon, and it's a good one. We've got a rematch here of a couple of horses that finished 2nd and 3rd over at Remington in early December. Talking about number 2, Herp, and the number 4 here is, of course, Dulcy. They finished right together to a horse called Coyote Legend. The winner of that race came back at Sam Houston recently and annexed the stakes race down there. I'm going to give Dulce a little bit of an edge because he's a little bit more tactical, and I think he's going to be able maybe to control the pace under leading rider Robbie Alvarado. Number four, Don Dulce, as our featured race selection here. That's the eighth of the afternoon. For our Buzz Long Shot, we'll go back one race in the seventh. Number seven, Come a Corkin. That's another nice little name there. John Court, the hottest jockey going, who was on board the Smarty Jones winner, and also Oxbow, who annexed a top three-year-old prep at the Fairgrounds in New Orleans on Saturday, has a call to ride for trainer Greg Compton. 12-1 on a horse that loves Oaklawn, loves the distance, and has been training very well indeed lately. I think number seven, a Corkin, does run a big one as our Buzz Long Shot play of the day.
All right, very good. We appreciate you very much, and we will visit with you again tomorrow. Joe Klein's pushing for the 35 early daily double in honor of his old jersey number, I guess.
Indeed.
So, all right, well, Money, we appreciate it, my man. We'll talk to you again. All right, buddy.
Later, buddy.
We'll have Jeff on again tomorrow as we broadcast from the Arkansas Big Buck Classic. And Jeff Money Taylor this season brought to you by Arkansas Car Stereo, our buddy Mac over there. Little Rock's oldest full-service car stereo shop, offering Focal speakers, Roxford, Fossgate, Soundstream, Pioneer, JVC, Sony, and more. Joe, you were rocking the Pioneer back in the day.
Absolutely. The Alpine.
Alpine, okay.
Yeah, buddy.
Latest in alarm and remote starters from Clifford and Crime Stopper. Check out the Clifford Smart Star. You can start and track your vehicle from your smartphone, so that way you can keep up with the kids if they're borrowing the car, Joe. Backup cameras, backup sensors, all with installation so good it's under warranty for as long as you own your vehicle. That's the deal. It's Arkansas Car Stereo, 5017 South University in Little Rock, 501-562-0064. What's up, Mac? All right, Big Joe. So tonight, big one at the Jack. Good to see the women get back on track last night, and hopefully the men can get it rolling. You guys are coming off a big win on the road at Western Kentucky, which you pulled the double on Western, which not many people do.
Well, yeah, I mean, we played well. I mean, Western's a little banged up, but everybody's banged up right now. So, I mean, and we've struggled on the road, so any road win would have been a good one. So we played well. We showed some grit. Some guys made some plays. Down the stretch, shots and defensive plays, and the rebounding was much better in the second half, and we moved the ball better in the second half, and you know, you do those things, you're going to be in every game. We pull it out.
Well, it's a cliche I was going to say, but it's a dogfight this year. I mean, you talk about some balance in the league, and you guys are sitting 6-4 in conference play right there. But I mean, it's a tough one.
I mean, you know, you like tonight. I mean, they got a kid named Greg Gant coming in. He's averaging 25 a game in Sunbelt Conference.
Yeah.
He's 23, I think, for the year, which is top 4 or 5 in the country. So this kid can...
What type of player is he?
He's a 6'2 guard. He's got a little bit of an old-school game. You know, he jabs, steps,
right.
He'll catch and shoot off the pick. You know, he can go in the post a little bit and, you know, take you one way, come back another. But just really good at catching and shooting. And then if you get up on him, he'll jab, step, you ball fake. You're very clever. Great score, great shooter. I mean, he's shooting 48 from the floor and 44 from the three. So he's a load. He's a load. and then they got two guys with him that can shoot. I mean, they got three guards tonight that score 75% of their points. So, I mean, obviously Gant being the number one, but they got a freshman named Moody who's 5'10 and very athletic and quick and can dunk it with two hands. And then they got a kid named Bertone that, you know, he just compliments him well, hits the open jumper, can drive, and they play well together.
Is Gillen, what's his timetable?
He got cleared earlier in the week, and he's got to kind of work his way back in, you know, and kind of, you know, John would like to go out there and start and play 40 minutes, you know.
But yeah.
It ain't high school no more, man. You know, I mean, he's got to find his way back into the mix, and he's got to come in and contribute in the right ways and do the right things, and which I think he will. And you know, his time will come. I think he's probably going to be a little frustrated tonight, and probably frustrated on Saturday because the doc says he's cleared, and he's like, okay, let's roll and get things back to normal. And you know, when the makeup of the team is, and this is something you have trouble with all your guys, your makeup of your team is not made up to accommodate you. You are made up to accommodate the team. And you have this conversation. You got 13 guys on scholarship, and during the course of the year, you have the same conversation with each of them about 5 times. You know, you're here to help accommodate the team. The team's not here to accommodate you.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so.
Well, this will be the last time you guys play Florida Atlantic at home as a conference member. So it was announced, I guess, this week, within the last couple of days, and we knew they were leaving, but they're going to leave maybe earlier than we expected. Florida Atlantic, Middle Tennessee, heading out in June. So, again, it's they're paying the exit fee and they're heading out. So it's an ever-evolving process from a conference standpoint.
I mean, it, you know, it's football-driven, as we all know. Sure. And, you know, they want to get into that mix of the football and try to get their stuff going from a content of football. And, you know, they got to do what's best for their conference, and not for their conference, but for their school. And we hate to see them go because they're two very good teams, bring a lot of class and a lot of toughness and a lot of good ball to our league. But, you know, they got to do what they got to do.
Middle Tennessee will be coming here on February 16th, and that has been, without a doubt, I mean, when you look at the record, the class of the league so far this year, and you guys got to see them up close and personal recently. Unfortunately, it was
they inflicted their class on us.
They classed it up, didn't they? They classed it up. Yeah, they played well. I mean, but they're the kind of team, and we see it every, you know, not every year, but most years, where there's a team that puts that gaudy record up where if they don't happen to win the conference tournament, they'll have a good look at being an at-large.
And, you know, and I think a lot of that has to do with some of that has to do with, I said it was all football, but I think some of what you just pointed out has to do from the basketball mm-hmm. side. You know, it's a one-bid league, our league is. You know, they had a great team last year, lost to Arkansas State, and their body of work for the whole year was thrown out the window with a bad game.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that, I think that's the frustration you have from the coaches, is that in football, I think you have, and it might be going up, 120 BCS teams, something like that,
yeah.
And over half of them get a bowl bid.
Right.
Because there's so many bowls. Too many bowls, but there's so many bowls. Whereas the NCAA tournament you have 360 some odd Division I teams that could qualify for the tournament, and you get 60, mm-hmm. 64, what is it now, 65. So
yeah.
20, you get 50% that get a bowl game, which in theory says you've had a successful season.
Right.
And you get 20% to the tournament for basketball, which if you don't make the tournament, you know, that's what everybody's striving for.
Yeah.
So you end up thinking you didn't have as good a year as maybe you should have.
So do you think, or would you like to see the NCAA tournament put some more teams in? I think they're at 68 now with that opening round game.
Well, what the NCAA tournament says is, well, you have your conference tournaments, so everybody's qualified.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I would. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if you know,
96 maybe even.
Right.
Something.
I mean, what's it going to hurt?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, what's it going to hurt? I mean, you have a lot of good teams. You know, I think Middle Tennessee last year when they got into the NIT, they made some noise. They beat some people. I just think the more you get mid-major schools playing high-major schools on a neutral court
where it's
little in the tournament and the officiating mm-hmm. isn't going to have somebody's conference officials here. Somebody, it's a neutral site. You're going to see more upsets and more exciting games, which in turn is what make you know is what drives the NCAA tournament, what makes it special, you know. And you can make an argument either way. I mean, some will say, you know, and not, you know, it's but you know, why are they expanding the football to four teams? You know,
so people want to see it.
Right. So I mean, you can make an argument either way. I mean, but I'd like, you know, obviously I'm a little biased because it would help our league if it expanded.
Yeah.
So
UALR at home tonight again. The game can be heard here on the Buzz, 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock tip. Pat Bradley and Ray Tucker on the call. Look forward to tuning in and checking out the game tonight. And it's a big one certainly for UALR as they sit atop the Western Division right now. And I know you guys would like to stay there going into the conference tournament. And Pat was going to pull the bracket. I don't know if you had a look at it. They did move the tournament around a little bit, where they're going to start on Friday this year. So it's Friday through Sunday, right?
Is that what I said?
No, Friday through Monday.
Monday's
the last day this year as opposed to the through Tuesday. So they have changed it up a little bit, of course, to accommodate TV. But, again, nice to have it in Hot Springs. Don't know how long that's going to last, but it's certainly good to have it as long as we can get it.
Well, I mean, Hot Springs is, you know, and again, we're biased. You know, the people in Florida and everybody else. But
Well, the Florida schools are leaving, so that's a good thing, maybe.
And even Middle Tennessee and them. But at the end of the day, when you look at the venue there, it's perfect for our league.
Yeah.
The size of the arena is perfect. The fact that you have a court, you'd be able to play two games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's perfect for our league. And then when you play your championship game, you get 6,500 people into that arena in Hot Springs. It's packed. It's got an atmosphere. If you're playing it in Orlando or you're playing it in Verizon, you get 7,000 people in Verizon mm-hmm. for a basketball game. You're going to be sitting there going, "Where's everybody at?"
Right.
And you got a good crowd, but it's not going to have the atmosphere that you want. And so, you know, I hope they keep it there. I thought I heard it's moving to New Orleans after this year. In 2 years maybe.
And honestly, I mean, if we have to go to New Orleans to cover the Sun Belt tournament,
you're
by golly,
move it somewhere.
I mean, look, the oysters are better there than in Hot Springs, with all due respect to the great restaurants in Hot Springs.
You can go see the Pelicans play.
That's what I'm saying. We'll get your thoughts on that. It's a vicious bird. Hey, tell it to the fish. You think the fish don't think the Pelicans are an intimidating creature?
Terrible.
They're fish. Everything's vicious to them.
That's true.
A little hook with a worm on it bothers them.
That's true. What's irresistible? Brad is in Little Rock. Brad, go ahead.
Hey, I did a real quick good job on dumping that guy a while back on the Joe thing.
Wait a minute.
Joe wanted to point out, too, how's traffic over there on Taylor Loop today?
Tell old boy we got it cleared up from, what, 2008?
Well, listen.
What was it? 2004?
I mean,
when was it?
Talk about holding a grudge. My gosh, dude.
Man, get over it, dude.
Exactly. I agree. Because, listen, I'm very fortunate. My oldest went to Cotillion with Joe. The kids, I've known him for a long time. No one's going to be nicer people and great kids than what Joe's got.
I tell you what, the next time the president calls and wants to come to my house, I'll say, nope, can't do it.
That's right. That's
we don't want to hold up traffic on Taylor Loop.
Yeah, I was on hold, you guys got talking about football, and I had heard a rumor about 2 weeks ago that, is it true, is there like a time span, like a time deadline the Sun Belt has put on? That if you have to have a football team, or they're going to kind of push those schools out that do not have football teams?
You know, Brad, I don't know. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean,
really?
I don't know, but you can kind of see how everything's going. I mean, football's driving the bus right now. And so, I mean, you certainly hope not.
Oh, really?
And I haven't heard anything that is, you know, other than stuff coming from fans and people, but you certainly hope not, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. Well, again, just clear up the air for a big job, man.
I don't think
great people and great kids, and I can't say enough about it.
That was the first, in all the years we've had Joe up here, that was the first guy to say anything negative.
About traffic, too.
Yeah, I mean, really,
I mean,
dude.
I mean, if you're gonna, there's a lot of other things that you could really go at me negatively, and you'd be right, but
well,
I don't deal with traffic.
I'm not
involved with the traffic thing.
It's probably mostly Secret Service. Beautiful. You know, it happens. It's not your fault. I would tell that guy the same thing I told a certain veterinarian.